40 chess. Yeah. 40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Let's get it.
Yo, is that Tito?
40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Hey. Forty chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go. Tap in and watch, that's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in. Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop harming, can fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the socials. 40 chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the wall too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 chess. This is 40 chess.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 40 chess Dynasty Football Podcast. So glad you could join us. We are back, second week in a row. The resurrection is complete. Adam's got a Dover cross country shirt on.
That's right. My wife used to teach. Well, she teaches at Dover still, but she used to be a cross country coach. Cross country never really my thing, buddy, but I'll rock the shirt, you know?
No, because cross country goes on during what, Adam?
You know it. Football season. plus, Mike, I never... Listen, when I did conditioning, that was enough for the whatever sport I was prepping for. You know, just running in the woods for miles isn't really my thing, you know?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good. That's a hard pass. Hard pass. You see all those kids out there, man. You can always tell when football season's right around the corner, though, because the cross-country kids are out, too, just running on sidewalks, you know, yep. Forever. I don't know why.
They don't stop. Yeah, it's like the Energizer Bunny. Keep going and going.
And they usually do the one thing that you hate, man. Like, you're a big golfer. Man, these kids out there running races on your golf course. You
know, yeah.
Get off the grass.
Honestly, that's where, you know, every now and again, it's okay to spray an errant one over that way. You know, just let them know.
Just kind of a
little tee shot. Just four.
I think that's healthy. You know what I'm saying? I think that's healthy.
Let them know they're on a golf course, all right, at minimum, you know.
Well, let's dive right into it, buddy. We're going to talk about early season dynasty moves. And the first thing I wanted to talk about from a strategy aspect is we have week one. It's in the books. Everybody got to see it. We got takeaways. You know, we'll be doing them tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday, so we'll be talking a bit about some of them on AMA. But Adam, we got people making wild stances already after week one. You're seeing wild value shifts. I want to talk a little bit about capitalizing on some of these boomers. No, not old people, not your grandpas, but not the boomers.
The boomers
in the dynasty market. Yeah, how can we go about capitalizing on some of these guys? And you know, we love to do it. We love to give examples. Adam, first one that's gonna stand out off the top of my head, what about Bill Jacory Kroski Merritt? Kind of we saw a weird rise from him this offseason leading up to it, but now Bill's up to RB24 on Keep Trade Cut, and I don't think that's stopping anytime soon. They're a little bit slow to react, you know what I mean? You got days where they got to take averages of where people are being ranked on here, so sometimes the data takes a little bit to get up here, but already up to 24, which is kind of a shock to me. I was like, holy hell.
Yeah.
We're in some crazy territory now.
Let's actually talk about, because I think it's a good start with, well... It's obviously a great start if you have a Bill share. But let's just talk about not the Bills, who also almost everyone there, you have a great start with the Bills, Keon Coleman and such. But when you're looking at Bill, to me, let's have this conversation. Right now he's at 24. Just so we're looking at the last 30 days, which is what they keep in here, the 30-day trend. He's up 131 spots. Essentially, right, I think what's happening too is he's already been pushed up so much in their algorithm, it's going to take even more time for him to come up. But if you imagine where people are clicking Keep Trade Cut, Mike, like, let me ask you this. Where would you put him in Dynasty first? And then I think we could have a discussion on where we think he kind of lands realistically if we were just ranking the general consensus.
Well, let's talk about the guys around him then. That's probably the easiest way. We'll start at Chuba Hubbard or Bill. Who would you rather have? For me, it's Bill.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting one. I think I probably would rather have Bill, but honestly, Mike, Chuba Hubbard, at least for this year. I mean, again, when the big conversation with Bill is, I think there's actually, while it's been a seismic rise, there's more to go up. Because he's a young player, right? Chuba has kind of got himself, I think, etched into this 19, 20, 21 ranking as long as he continues to produce. And it's kind of really hinged. It's his value is only going to hang around here if he continues to play, you know, as the, he was the workhorse. So if he stays that, Mike, I think you could make the case for Chuba. But the reason I'll take Bill is because I want the, it's going to sound insane because I don't think Bill actually has value insulation, but there's more to go up. It's more about his potential rise that I can pivot out of. I think Chuba's safe. It's a good pivot. If you got Bill, let's say, for free off the waivers, you wanted to pivot safely, I think Chuba's fine, but I think I could shoot higher.
I think that's probably the key takeaway right there is you're trying to catch the rocket ship and thinking you can squeeze a little bit more juice out of this before you have to actually officially cash out. So if that was offered to you one for one, I think I'm with you on that one. Not so much for the production, right? Because I think Chuba probably outproduces him, but I'm not certain of that. It's close enough to go, I don't know. Sure. But I can tell you for certain that if Bill continues with what he did in week one and Chuba continues with what he did in week one versus also what he did last year, Bill's got a higher ceiling. Like, people are going to be a lot more excited about him and could potentially be squeezing a first out of a guy you picked up off of the waiver wire for free.
No, for sure. I think, and that's, I think, the thing about it. One thing about week one, you don't want to make too much assumptions based on the offenses as a whole. But, Mike, I will say, I believe that the Commanders, not just because of week one, because of what we saw last year as well and the additions they've made, like, this is an offense I want to be attached to. Think of that Ravens and Bills game, right? Now, that game's insane, okay? Don't make that the marquee, you know, comparison, all right? But thinking about a game like that with two high-powered offenses, I want to be attached to a high-powered offense. So I lean also that to JCM where, dude, I'm going to be honest, these Panthers team's starting to scare me. It's 1 week, but I've seen scaries, and we're not at Halloween, buddy, but I'm scared, really.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a good one. How about another riser, especially after week one, Zach Charbonnet or Bill?
I'm going to tell you what's crazy. Can I tell you what's crazy about this? Is this is where the conversation to me is a lot of projecting and too much for me to really make a strong case, because Charbonnet's past we've seen is like what the way they used him in week one is either going to be an aberration or we should throw out everything in the past, frankly, right? Because they kind of switched the 1A, 1B in this offense completely. So, like, if you told me Charbonnet was guaranteed to keep this workload, I think you can make a case for Sharps. I still, though, probably will take JCM because of the potential for Kenneth Walker to be, you know, dealing with a foot and earning more snaps, as well as I think the, I'm going to tell you another offense that kind of scares me a little bit, this Darnold thing, you know, this whole Sam Darnold Seattle offense, you know.
You'll have that. You'll have that. He has that effect, buddy. He really does. How about a rookie we didn't see anything of, Caleb Johnson or JCM at this point?
It's a good one. I want to ask you first.
Oh, this is easy, Caleb, for me. And not even because I'm a Caleb stan, man. Not even because I'm a Caleb stan, but these are the kind of moves. Now, sometimes they don't pay off, right? Like, and Adam, you are the perfect guy to have this conversation with about it. Early season dynasty moves.
Yeah.
Because once upon a time, you fully bought into one Puka Nacua, and I was staunchly on the, I'm sticking to my laurels, I'm taking Quentin Johnson.
Johnson, yeah.
And we made those trades. Now, that one didn't work out for me, right? It did not work out for me. But hypothetically, we kind of got the same situation here. One wide receiver, instead of it being a wide receiver, it's two running backs. But Caleb was taken over JCM by a landslide everywhere, right? Yep. Has the draft capital, has everything that you want from it. JCM does not. At this point, after week one, where are you at? Like, are you firm enough on the Bill train and not seeing anything out of Caleb to make a second Puka Nacua swipe?
Honestly, here's what I would say, right? When I made that Puka trade, I think this is actually a very similar conversation, but it's at a different position. So let's acknowledge it's a similar conversation because of the draft capital, where they were drafted in, you know, dynasty ranks, and kind of, I think the interesting part, Mike, is this. You're talking about us getting draft capital in May, right? April time. Like, that's when we're drafting our teams. And so you have months at this point now where it's like you get solidified information, you feel. And then for it to change real seismically is like, hold on. This is too much. Now, I will say this. Like, Puka, to me, I didn't think Puka, when I made that trade, Mike, was going to be a top five potential dynasty wide receiver. Okay. So right. Let's just, like, I was at that point kind of just willing to say, I think this looks different than others. And I was scared enough with what we saw in Quentin Johnson, I think, this week too. Now, the reason I think the running backs are different and interesting conversation is because, Mike, if all things were to hit for Caleb Johnson, right? Let's call it a day two running back, right? What is the longevity? What are we shooting for with that type of a player, realistically? Like, what do you think we should be looking for, honestly?
That kind of...
Like a dynasty outlook. What should be a realistic... Let's say it hits for Caleb. Like, time-wise, too, right? Like, how long should we be looking for that window to be something we're capturing?
That's a tough one because his range of outcomes is so wide, right? Mm-hmm. Day two, running back, draft capital, right? And we're playing in an age now, too, where just look at keep, trade, cut, right? Bijan first-rounder, Gibbs first-rounder, Genty first-rounder, Saquon first-rounder, Marion Hampton first-rounder, and then you go, whoa, you really need the draft capital. And then Bucky Irving, no draft capital.
Right.
Devon Achane, day two guy. Right. Trevion, day two guy. Chase Brown, no draft capital. Jonathan Taylor, day two guy. Kyren Williams, no draft capital. Josh Jacobs, first-rounder. So it goes all over the map, doesn't it? Right, yeah. Like, it,
no, for sure.
There's no limits on it, right? If Bucky comes out and he smashes, say, these next 3 weeks, Bucky's a 20, 25-point per game guy, right? Mm-hmm. Just smashing. We're going to have conversations about, is Bucky Irving dynasty RB1? You know what I mean? So, like, the sky is actually the limit, but his range of outcomes, too, as a day two guy, is similar to a lot of guys down here that you'll see with draft capital that nobody really seems to give a shit about, right?
Yeah.
Now, Aaron Jones is down here. That's age. J.K. Dobbins is because of, you know, hey, got injuries, right? Yep. Got a lot of injuries. But there's dudes that have fallen off, even guys who have got draft capital back in the past. You know, Brian Robinson has draft capital. Nobody seems to give a shit about him anymore, especially after Christian McCaffrey just goes out there and plays what seems to be every single snap for
every
guy.
One of them. Yeah, if he's not in the backfield, he's in the slot. He's somewhere out there, you know?
He's always out there getting all the touches. Like, it's one of these fickle beasts, man. Like, at the running back position especially, draft capital can get you in the door, but it can't keep you there. But also, not having draft capital doesn't preclude you from being an elite dynasty asset. Right, like, it's one of the weird positions like that where if you ball out, especially early in your career, all limits are off. And I think the whole community as a whole has really pivoted to that in the last few years.
I like the way you broke that down. I think, Mike, when I think about that, the reason I say this and talk about it from a standpoint of let's have the conversation elsewhere from the players, right? Generically, and then let's get back to the players. Because when I think about that, Mike, I actually think just on the surface, on the paper, right, the Puka versus Quentin Johnson trade, when you look at a wide receiver now in a late draft capital versus early, that was way more bold than if I would have said, let's go ahead and make this JCM for Caleb swap, right? Because day three and day two running backs, I'm not saying day two running backs aren't someone I'd rather have, but if you told me their outlooks are not that different, I'm like, yeah, right? We kind of know that. So to me, JCM already, with everything that's gone on, when they moved away from Brian Robinson, right? The people that are in front of him and in the way, not saying they're going to go anywhere, like Eckler while playing, but they don't scare me from his workload, and he's attached to a high-powered offense. Now, flip side, Caleb doesn't play at all, which is like, all right, Arthur. Is Arthur going anywhere, number one? And number two, we got a surprise, and we'll see if it continues, that the Steelers scored 34 points. So, Mike, I'll say this. If you wanted to make that swap, I don't actually hate it at all. It seems crazy. I completely understand if you think Caleb's a better talent and you want to bet there. The one thing I think we need to note with JCM is I think without this eligibility issue, and the reason I think that the Commanders kind of moved on is because they got him in the seventh round, but feel he was a steal, right? So that's, I think, one thing to consider there.
I think you brought up a really good point about it, too. When we try to compare the two situations, we're just to be frank about it, at the running back position, it makes a hell of a lot more sense than when you did it at the wide receiver position, albeit one thing. You did it in week two, right after Puka had just set historic numbers for debuts, right? So that was the thing that
was the reason why. If I did that after week one, you should have put me in, still can put me in an asylum, you know?
If Puka was at, like, let's say 12 and 14 points for his 2 weeks, you don't make that move.
No. Right? And honestly, it wasn't even as much about the points. It was the fact that he was in the 20s in targets, right?
Yeah.
A young kid coming in there and earning 18, 20 targets is just, you know what? I'll take an outlier shot here. I'll swing, you know?
I think at the time, if I'm not mistaken, you brought up, like, Anquan Boldin. Like, that, what he was doing at the time hadn't been done since Anquan Boldin debuted in the league.
Correct.
Which is, which is something special. So, yeah, at the running back position, though, you know, as much as I'll say, like, it should be Caleb every single time, you are 1,000% right where, like, we have a great history of JCM types in the past. Those are the kind of guys where... Shit, you wanted to make that swap right now? Go for it. By all means, go for it.
Yeah.
The only thing I would caution you about, too, is we also have a very bad history of be ready this year at some point to pivot off of, do you want to talk late season strategy? Be ready to pivot off of a JCM type somebody gives you, you know, what he's worth at that time.
Like, which is, and that's, see, Mike, to this conversation, right? Now, to this part of the conversation. See, this is where I think that idea and principle is very important to note, right? Like, the reason I asked the question about Caleb, though, is because for Chuba Hubbard, let's say, right, if you make that swap, the goal is, and it does make sense, the goal is to get production and kind of get safer at the running back position. Now, a guy like Chuba Hubbard gets injury, you know, all bets are off. The thing about Caleb, though, Mike, is it's kind of like theoretic safety, but it's not production guaranteed, and he's not someone that showed us anything at the NFL level to where, to me, that pivot, if I had JCM right now, I'd probably tier him the same. Like, if I had a whole bunch of JCM and I wanted to get a Caleb to just, you know, make a portfolio more diverse, fine. But to me, I'd rather pivot into some other asset at a different time. But I do think for both of them, and the reason I want to talk about this is that there's a fallacy in believing these guys are your set it and forget it for 3 years ever, right? Like, that's just not what these type of guys really should be. They could be. But don't start looking at your lineup, especially rebuilders, and start penciling in, oh, man, thank goodness, I got that late-round JCM. Now my running back's solved for the next several years. Like, that's exactly what you shouldn't be thinking in personally. Like, it could have come to fruition, but don't start putting the cart before the horse here.
Right, and then have an honest conversation about what your team's actually doing right before you go out to acquire. If I'm rebuilding, Adam, like, if I'm not competing this year, I want no part of buying something like JCM.
He needs to be tossed in as a piece of the deal with the idea of potentially flipping. But if you're going out and trying to sniff around for a JCM on a rebuild, is really not going to help. It's not helpful at all.
Do not do it at all. That would be a hard avoid for me. So I say that, then let's flip to the other teams, the ones that are trying to compete. And you may be 1-0, you may be 0-1, and go, it's, by the way, it's week one, so weird shit always happens in week one, right? Like, a lot of my teams that go on to win championships start 0-1 for some god-awful reason, right? Like, it happens all the time.
The panic after week one for a lot of teams, I mean, there's some teams and some really good players that didn't perform week one. So let's everyone just take it easy, you know? Yeah,
take a deep breath, right? Take a deep breath. When Quentin Johnston's wide receiver one, take a deep breath.
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, A.J. Brown, Devontae
Jefferson,
Smith. None of these guys were even top, like, 20s. So, like, no, Jefferson might have been top 20. But point is, like, these guys are going to be fine all year. Just relax.
So if you're on a contender in regards to JCM and somebody came around saying, you know, maybe they don't listen to us or they don't subscribe to this, I'm a rebuilding team and I'm, you know, I'm building running back out for 3 years, but they want to get your JCM off of you and they offer you the likes of Swift or Kamara, where are you at on that? Because me as a contender, I say, I'll easily take those guys. I'll take the known quantity. And while you're right to your one of your original points, I may be sacrificing long-term player flippability down the road. I'm trying to stack wins as quickly as possible. And one of the things that I've learned on this network, right, from Mr. Koopa Troopa himself, listening to Grinding the Edge every Saturday, is the importance, one, of wins over a replacement player, but two, how being the number one or two seed just drastically increases your chances of winning a championship, whether that's a lineup or a best ball league, Adam. And you and I have been pretty big proponents of the differences between the two. And I would say, especially in best ball, buddy, if I can't finish as the one or two seed, I might not be winning a title this year. Like, yes, can I come as the four or five seed? Pause on the come part. Yes, I can, but it's not an easy road, right? You need that bye. You really do need that bye. Take a lot of the variance out of it when you're not having to play in the first round of the playoffs. So as a contender, for me, Adam, I'm easily flipping my JCM and sacrificing a little bit of upside, right? Because Kamara and, you know, Connor, like Aaron Jones, like those guys aren't going up in Dynasty Valley. I don't give a shit what they do, man. They can go out for 203 sure. next week and nobody's going to give a shit. They'll move a half a spot.
Yeah.
Keep trade cut.
Well, they're similar to like Chuba Hubbard, who's, you know, up nine after being the workhorse,
which is right? somehow even grosser. Yeah,
like up nine total spots, but like legitimately was the workhorse last year or this last week. Sorry, but yeah, I think Mike. Here's the thing in best ball, I think I definitely would be willing to make and can understand making that pivot for sure.
Okay,
I think in lineup, I'm not saying you still couldn't do it. I would kind of want to know about my team and how it's built. So let's say, for example, JCM is your like running back too, and you wanted to shore that up a little more. I think I could probably get behind it. I think in lineup though, Mike, I'm probably looking to, if I'm pivoting off of JCM, kind of go somewhere where there's a little bit more value insulation. Like, can I go cross positionally into a receiver in a lineup build? Can I try to maybe just take the riskier shot in getting something later in the year? Because to me, both Swift and Kamara, listen, Swift's workload, let's just call this what it is, first of all. I mean, that was a true workhorse, DeAndre Swift. You may not have liked some of the way he read some of the holes and what he did, but 81% of snaps is crazy. Kamara's, you know, listen, Kamara's another year of what we've always seen, so he's going to be on the field a lot. The problem with both of those players is that, to me, making that buy now in a lineup league also leaves me holding the bag potentially if they get hurt, which is any person in the game, right? So that's where I think I'd probably hold JCM in a lineup. But in a best ball, I think you'd be very prudent to make moves like that, where you just kind of get secure assets that are going to be getting a ton of snaps.
Man, I didn't think about that. That's actually a great point. In the lineup league, I'd still do it, but I do see exactly what you're talking about, right? Where it's like, man, in the lineup where I'm trying to roster construct for that lineup with just, you know, fractional depth. And hopefully JCM has just found money, right? Like, yeah, I wasn't right. relying on him as my RB2.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's what you need in there. Exactly.
Now he's at the point where I'm like, can I wedge him into a flex? You know what I mean? Can I wedge him in? You know, and he'd be in my RB2 spot, but because my true RB2 is in my flex because he plays in a later game, you know, something along those lines. But that's where I should be. All right. You know, found money. And if I'm in that position in a lineup, if I'm roster constructing that way, which you should be in a lineup league, Adam, I think that's a fucking phenomenal point, is where I go, do I really need to go get a Kamara or a Chuba, or do I need to go get a James Conner or a Swift or one of these guys? Right? Because the upside that they have, right, while I'm getting a fraction more production, the downside risk, if they shit the bed, they get hurt, whatever, now I'm scrambling to like try to replace that depth role. Having a trump card like JCM, who I'm using as depth, will go fetch me a shit ton more in return than what, hey, anybody want to buy a 37-year-old Alvin Kamara who's injured?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
How many people are doing that?
Exactly.
The rebuilders in your league will look at you and go, buddy, I'll give you a fourth just for when he comes back next year. I'll probably get a third.
But if it wasn't for the IR spot, I'd view him as a roster clogger right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, but to your point, in a best ball league, like, I want more productive shots, right? Like, that becomes more readily apparent that I need this in my best ball. Like, I need the Alvin Kamara over the JCM in my best ball league.
And I think, too, one of the points there, especially in best ball, right, because of the nature of that game and the difference, Mike, I think with the narratives around JCM, that's one of those where, like, I would even throw Javonte Williams kind of in the same conversation, where can I get you to toss me a third in this type of a deal, right? Like, can I get the production or snap share safety, but also play this little JCM card hype up? Like, because that's ultimately, I think, in best ball, what you're also trying to do is the two for one part. But can I basically play the edge of the market at the moment? And while I would like to see if JCM, like, I don't think anybody would be mad about seeing a JCM type player, a role of like a James Robinson, but now it's in a good offense, right? Who wouldn't like to see that type of a thing? But I'm willing to forego that if you can give me a player that's going to get high snap share, might be a grosser name, and some sort of a juice piece that I can try to put into my lineup later.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, man. Let me ask you, if somebody were to do that, let's say it's a third, right? Let's just go with it, a third. And we're talking lineup now where you're not as inclined to move off of your JCM for one of these other pieces. Would James Conner in a third get it done for you?
Yeah, I think in lineup there, this would again come down to if JCM's, let's say if I'm actually putting him into my lineup on a weekly basis, or he's very much in consideration for that, that type of a trade I think would be also savvy, where I'm kind of value protecting against the insulation problem, right? I'm getting a third to go
insurance.
Get.
Insurance.
Exactly. You get a little insurance piece back, right? So I think that's where, if you wanted to make that pivot now, I could do it. The one thing I will say, though, in lineup especially, if you're willing, JCM, I think, started to show us a little bit of the flash. I think a lot of the running backs we look at, Trevion Henderson and him, similar snap share. I think running backs right now that are young players that show well, they're going to kind of start ramping up snaps. We've seen this all the time for this type of a role. So if you were wanting to be a little more aggressive with your upswing, I get it. Like taking a home run shot here. Because the truth of the matter is you got to think about it this way as well with him. While you got this found money, how many times have you missed on a swing already for found money? And do you want to shoot for upside, or do you want to just, because I think there is upside there, but do you want to just shoot your shot on, you know, grossness? Ugh.
The Adam Dunn theory, right? You may strike out four times, but that fifth time up to bat, you hit a 455-foot home run. But nobody remembers the fact that this dude led the league in strikeouts like every single year he played.
Exactly. He was, you know, I'm taking huge swings and just missing and missing. You know, I got freaking Hunter Long in there who finally scored a touchdown, you know.
That's my spirit animal for a baseball player. Like, if I was going to be if I had the talent to be a professional baseball player, that would have been my style.
100%. I'm swinging for the fences. And let me ask you that on the flip side to kind of, because I think that's the conversation for the tear down. Let me ask you, Mike, where is the conversation go if we're talking about, like, you know, let's say that offer's on the table. I think this is where this is a good conversation. You got an offer on the table, or you think you can get something like that done. A Connor, a Javonte, and a third, a Pollard and a third type thing, right? Maybe even a third and a fourth, whatever, right? Something like that where you feel like you might get similar production, but you get a little juice piece. What would realistically look like, or I don't want to say realistically, because what JCM's already done is unrealistic for the most part. So what do you think JCM's potential fetch is? What are we chasing down the road if we decide to hold away from that?
I think what you're chasing is the maximum upside, which for me, like, as soon as you hit, is he worth a first territory? That's your maximum upside. That's where it doesn't matter if I'm a contender. It doesn't matter what he's doing for me on the field at that point, Adam. We get to that conversation. Savvy dynasty managers, time and time again, will take the Elijah Mitchells and the James Robinsons, and they will go, you take them. I'll take your first. I'll take the liquidity. Or the first in value player, right? The one that's more safe, right? That you know, like, man, even if this guy blew out his knee tomorrow, probably still worth a first, right? Like, you start to get into that conversation, you need to hit the eject button. So I think that's the long shot upturn play, is that's where I want to be. If I'm going to diamond hand him, that is my realistic outcome. Like, as soon as we start to get to that conversation, you know, early second, something along those lines. I'm like,
well,
okay,
I was going to say, Mike, so
time to go.
Let's have this conversation. You ready to have this conversation? Because we're living in that world today, buddy. I got news for you.
We're really close.
Go running backs. Go keep trade cut running backs and picks. Wait till you see this. Early second, 2026. JCM's already ahead. He's 101 assets. He's already ahead. He's 101. Okay. And we're at, now it's a 2028 pick, but he is him and Caleb and Charbonnet are literally on the heels, basically the same value as is a late first, albeit 2028. 2027, 2026, though, Mike, we're not that far away in the way that the trend is going.
Nope.
I'm telling you, it's actually probably already here. Like, what I would also like to do, I'll do this as we're talking through this.
The way you said that, too, reminded me of the movie, like, Twister.
Oh, yeah.
like with the tornado when it's dark in, like, the movie theater, and they're talking about it. They're like, it's already here.
Yes. it's actually funny. I remember
JCM's
that movie.
The F5 Twister, man. He's already here.
It's already here. Dude, honestly, Mike, I bet you if we go to trades, we can already find. I bet you we found it.
We're
first
approaching
somewhere.
It. I bet you're right.
I'm not saying that it's going to be existing in every one of our leagues. Okay. We have a lot of different leagues, but let's see here. I mean, here you go, Mike. Christian McCaffrey has been acquired by JCM, Marvin Mims, Mario Douglas today.
No shit. Okay. Yep. We have arrived.
Yeah.
Dude, the first one I pull up. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt and Brenton Strange for Jalen Wright in a first in 2026.
Mike, I'm telling you. So let's now, instead of having it next week, let's just have it.
JCM, Spencer Rattler, Trey Tucker for Travis Hunter.
Now, I mean,
good God.
Now, good, just understand the point is like, we're always going to find some crazy fish trades. That's nuts. But I guess the point is. Like
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt for Zay Flowers, straight up.
That's interesting, given how Zay Flowers balled. But
right, Zay Flowers balled the fuck out.
It's not like it was Smitty, right? It's not like it was, you know, a player that just laid a goose.
All right, Adam. I guess I'm behind the times here, man. We're already here.
We're in the movie The Twister. Let's have the tornado conversation. It's right on our heads. Mike, let me ask you this. Let's do it this way, since we've already kind of, taking the fun out of the pretend game. We know what the answers are. What's the potential net if you're holding off for more?
Can you get Bucky Irving, man?
But this is the thing, Mike. Why is that conversation going to be relevant? Not just because the player we saw. Coop made a good point one time about how with the Rome comparison I made, which is, this is pre-draft, right, to JSN. He's like, I don't like how we always have to compare to the thing we last saw. Now, I'm with that in sentiment, right? But it's also one of those things that people are, it's kind of the idea of believing versus seeing. Like, I can give you a story, but if I can give you what you just saw as the current story, it's a lot easier to point to.
I'm the worst one at that. Like, 95% of my analysis anymore is trying to compare or put people into things that we have already seen happen.
Sure. Right?
Like, so they can get in that mindset of what's going on.
Sure. I mean,
what's the easiest one to do? Jason, the one that we just fucking Irving. Saw last year, right? Like, I'm not giving you some 2006 reference. I'm going to give you the one from 2024.
But and now here's the thing, right? I think with the Bucky, like, to me, that's the conversation, Mike, is JCM talented enough to where, like, some people have said that, hey, we believe this kid had played a full season, you know, we're looking at a day two possibly pick. And now, Mike, think about it this way. The reason Bucky, I think, is a good comparison, not because it's a... I don't want you to compare Bucky Irving and JCM to player, okay? I'm talking about, though, Mike, the reason Bucky's there. See, this is the thing about it. JCM is on a high-powered offense. The Bucks were a high-powered offense. Look at the names up here, okay? I want you to look at the names up high. Genty's going to be the outlier, right? Bijan, I think this could be a very high-powered offense, right? Barkley, we already seen it. Gibbs in the past has been a high-powered offense. Bucky, high-powered offense. A-Chain would be, you know, where we start to have that fall
was,
off of.
Was a high-powered offense.
Has been at times. Chase Brown, right? Kyren Williams. Like, but this is the good point offenses. I'm making, is that, yes, Mike, these are, he's on a very good offense. And that sometimes can be the needle mover difference maker between, well, Kenneth Walker showed us a lot of upside, but Seattle was never really a high-powered offense. Right. I think that's the thing about JCM's upside, that we have to start having the conversation at some point. Not necessarily yet, but at some point, if he keeps kind of getting his snap share up, is all right. If I'm actually holding out for one of these crazy deals, if I'm going to try to be a lunatic, what am I actually looking for? Because that I think is one of the things that happens in Dynasty, is you start saying, I think he should be worth more. Everybody thinks everything on their team should be worth more. If you want to go that route, fine. But what are you waiting for? What are you shooting for? What are we saving for? Because I think then, Mike, the conversation is, what would Bucky go for? Is that a first and a second? Is it a first and 2 seconds? Realistically, what are you holding out for? What does the extra parts of this trade look like at some point?
I gotcha. I think then the most realistic case then, right, for the alternative, the downside. He shows out, he does his thing this year. He gets close to Kyren or Bucky, right, like we've seen in the past. But to your point about trying to project this shit out for 2-3 years is a really risky game.
Yep.
Because look at another no draft capital running back who was on a high-powered offense, who was taking all the snaps and being the guy. Look where Isaiah Pacheco's at currently.
I was just going to say Pacheco. And it's funny because Pacheco last year, he was one of the guys I was pretty in on. You look at the snap share uptick. You look at the receiving work at the last part of the 2023 season. Mike, I mean, it's just a conversation you got to be. I think it's a conversation to have. If you want to really hold out and try to shoot for maximum upside, if you pass on a first, what are you wanting back? I think
set a limit.
Yeah, you get a first and a second. Yes, it's almost like in the casino, right? Like, what am I walking away from the table with?
Mind melt. And I like to be risky at the casino too, but there are hard limits, right? Like, I'm sitting down and playing 3-card poker with my old man. If I'm up a grand and I started with $200, at my limit is like, dude, once I got to, you know, 3 zeros in this stack here, I'm done. I don't give a shit if the cards are hitting or not. Like, I'm done. I'm walking away. I'm taking the money. But you also see those people who will be up a grand at that time and like, no, I'm hot, baby. I'm hot. And then an hour later, they're not.
Well, and now,
they're broke.
Let me tell you why I think this is an interesting one. Because, see, you know what happens to the limit? Now, if you go to a game, you're, let's even say you're at a high table limit. They'll give you a limit of what you can bet per hand, right, as a minimum, something like that. But see, they have rules established when you go in, and they're not supposed to change. And if people feel like they get thrown out when they are playing by the rules, that's when uproar happens. But you know what someone does that sits down at the table? They bring $100, $200, let's say. They turn it into $5. All of a sudden, that was what they were going to walk with. But now. But I think you renegotiate. I'm at $500 now. I can get to 1,000, right?
Right.
You start playing this game because it's easy right now, I think, in Dynasty, where as the weeks pass, Mike, one of the things about the offseason and the season, I think, to talk about with this point, in the offseason, things become pretty stable, right? Especially with ADP data and stuff that we use as kind of like benchmarks to measure what things are worth. You get used to months of, I don't want to call it truly stagnant information, but kind of settled information for the most part. Man, the season kicks off and boom, Mike, this thing starts going 1,000,000 miles an hour and people kind of forget about where we started, right? So to me, it's having a conversation of, all right, I'm going to see this JCM thing out. I believe he's different. Okay. I'm with you on that. If you want to do that personally. But just what is your limit? And if you want to put it at a first and 2 seconds, man, just be careful about, let's say it's week 4, Mike, and he's up, his snap share has gone up a couple weeks in a row. And you're like, fuck that. I want 2 first now. Like, all right, I think you need to have a conversation about it because this type of a profile, Mike, it's a lot more rare that you have a Kyren that's now at this point running back 11. Third season of this, right? Versus we saw a guy kind of come to prominence and go down pretty quickly too. So that's where I'm like at with it.
Well, let's pivot to one that's near and dear to your heart for a couple of reasons. Still on this channel, one of the most viewed things that we've ever done. Nice little short you put out a few years ago talking about the tight end position being one of the most exploitable things in Dynasty. And after week 1, Adam, we're right back here again. And I say the second part about being dear to your heart because it does involve one of your Cleveland Brown players.
Welcome.
Mr. Harold Fannin Jr.
Buddy, on TikTok, I got a comment, about that video, which it's funny now looking back, like the names there, you got to be thinking about the season in 2023. But point is, Mike, I just, this is just it's going. I have a lot of things that have aged like milk. Okay, that this one I think is going to be one of the ones that have aged like wine. Right, this is going to happen for the rest of eternity. Harold Fannin is tight end 10.
Sit down, Isaiah. Likely we have a new tight end 10.
What's best is Mike Dalton Kincaid. His game last week, a little fraudulent with the amount of volume and snaps that the offense had in general, right? But Dalton Kincaid is a good game. Harold Fannin has passed him. This is the show. This was the chosen one, right?
Jumps over Dalton Kincaid, opens that game with a touchdown on the opening drive,
and he's and he's also
like, nah.
And he has gone ahead. It took 1 week for him to go ahead of David Njoku on
already. Cut.
Mike, here's the thing. This is why this is a. Let me just say this. This is why this is playing this game though is one of the harder ones to like come up with a formula. Because here's the two sides of this game, right? The two sides of the game are, hey, I don't want these guys on my team because they're not going to produce, you know, a la, let's see, see Elijah Arroyo, see Terrence Ferguson, see all these guys, right? The problem is they're basically like this waiting spider monkey, right? That just like, it could be just completely dead. It's playing possum almost, right? All season. Boom. One game. Literally one game of seven catches, right?
Mm-hmm.
One game of seven catches. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that's not some insane bar. And then look at this. Everything that was stable before
flipped
out the window. So the problem is it's like, okay, yes, you want to get off of these players, but it's almost the exact same conversation in game as the running back with JCM is like, but where am I getting off at a place that feels like I'm getting the upside? I think now for Harold Fannin personally, and it's not that I don't want him to be a great player and that he's further behind, but we're in the conversation, Mike, of TJ Hockenson, George Kittle, Kyle Pitts is right there. I mean, who had another game where. The targets look good. So we'll see what happens and comes from that. So I think the biggest thing, man, is we've been waiting. People told us Kirk Cousins is going to fix him, but what actually looked good? Michael Penix. So I think these are fine pivots personally to just go ahead and get off of Harold Fannin. Considering, Mike, I know they run a lot of 12 personnel, but I mean, David Njoku isn't just suddenly gone, is he? So to me, we're at the elevator's plenty high to move off of them.
Plenty high, and you're good, right? And you want to talk about history in the past, the reason you put out that video. I put some of my favorites from back in the day in the Discord today, just talking about it, and their early season debuts. So just for reference, Harold Fannin was 13.6 fantasy points in week one.
Yep.
Those seven targets. That's what he did. Some other notable debuts that we've had. We had an early season Luke Musgrave 11-point game. One Damn. Of my favorites.
Yep. That is.
Yep.
The victory lappers were out week one about him and Tucker Kraft, remember?
Yeah, we had a nice 2-week stretch of double digit fantasy points from Daniel Bellinger once upon a time.
Dude, 10.4, I'm going to tell you the 14.8. Thing. Dude, Bellinger in the 2022 season, man. Flashback to upside. You can't possess. If he didn't get gouged in the eye, people were ready to fight him to the death.
Brevin Jordan's rookie debut on 23.7% of the snaps, Adam. 13.1 fantasy points, tight end 5.
Yeah, I remember you exploited me on that one.
And a guy who was just in the news not too long ago for not good reasons, uh-oh. Mr. Greg Dulcich.
Gregory. That one, that happened fast.
His first three games, 12.4, 11.1, 12.7, tight end 11, 7, and 9, respectively, in his very first three games he played.
Yep.
As a rookie.
Yep.
Adam, I think from Evergreen, man, that's what we're going to call it, Evergreen from 2 years ago, as much as I like Harold Fannin, you like what you see out there from him, I got this thing with tight ends, man. I've seen this a billion fucking times, and rarely does it ever pay off. Rarely does it ever pay off. Currently on Keep Trade Cut, tight ends ranked inside the top 10, which has to be 9 now since Harold Fannin. Damn, you like that Freudian slip. Since Harold Fannin is tight end 10.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers, Raz Freak. Trey McBride, Raz Freak. Tyler Warren, we assume he's a Raz Freak. He moves like it. I mean, we don't got the numbers, but that, we assume.
The one thing about Tyler Warren is that you could make the same assumption that maybe Harold Fannin moves faster, but his numbers were in, though. So that's the difference, right?
Sam Laporta, Raz Freak. Colson Loveland, Raz Freak. George Kittle, Raz Freak. TJ Hockenson, Raz Freak. Tucker Kraft, Raz Freak. Kyle Pitts, Raz Freak. Harken back, man. I promote good people. Scott Connor is one of the best at this, looking at tight end Raz and how it correlates to fantasy success. And the simple rule, the simple takeaway is don't trust non-Raz tight ends until they give you a long history of them producing.
A lifetime. Right?
So it almost has to be a lifetime. But yeah, if you wanted to do it after one season of Jason Witten, you know, who wasn't a Raz guy at all.
Sure.
Producing, by all means. Dalton Schultz, same thing, right? Opportunity and production. And if they do it, here's the big takeaway. Usually their cost isn't much more than what you would have had to pay at the height of the hysteria, right? Harold Fannin can go on to have a fine year, a very fine year, right? It's probably not going to be elite. And if it is, you're still going to have to pay tight end fucking 10 prices or better to get him anyways, right? Like, you're but still going to have to pay that. Why do it now?
See the reason the reason that's interesting and what I'm saying the interesting part is that the reason that typically is where you don't have to pay more than that is because what you're paying for with these young tight ends, Mike, is a hope and a dream. Like, you're paying for the hope and the dream of unlimited upside, right? Limitless. Think of the movie Limitless, right?
I love that movie, man. Did you see the TV show?
Yeah.
They only made one season of it.
I know.
Bullshit.
Why?
They should have made, I don't know. I don't know if there was an issue with it or nobody must watched it or whatever. Yeah, TV show was good too. And it's, they had tie-ins to the movie.
It wasn't Limitless. I'll tell you
it
that.
It wasn't Limitless.
But Mike, I think the thing is, like, Harold Fannin to me, I think by process, I'm 100% with you. It's just, that's what you do. The thing about him is, I think we will find that I think he plays faster than some of his scores were as far as speed and stuff, quickness. But
you're right. He does move. He did look like he was moving very, very well out there.
Because the thing that's typically the case is with a non-Raz freak is that it becomes solidified information by your eyes when you watch him play that he isn't a Kyle Pitts waiting on a unicorn breakout, right? Like, you kind of realize the tight end one overall thing goes away typically. I think you could probably make a case where Harold Fannin's like this weird tweener. I don't mean to use that as the typical tight end thing, but like a Raz tweener, so to speak. I'm still selling, though, to be honest with you. I'm not. He doesn't have the elite high end traits as to go with the situation that's already uncertain. So for me, Mike, this is, I guess, the conversation though with Harold Fannin and this Raz conversation of tight ends. When we pass in the drafts, I think moving forward, something to really talk about and think about then. I want to have the conversation now to have you try to keep in the back of our mind for the future in the draft in 2026. When we're like, nah, man, I don't want Elijah Arroyo. He's not going to produce. I don't want Harold Fannin. He's not. We're having the wrong conversation. The conversation is, you know who else is probably not going to produce around him? All these other positions that are probably not going to produce. But this position has lotto ticket written on it. And guess what it has to do to hit? You don't have to be the only winner in town. You have to be a winner for 1 week. You have to be a winner for 1 week, possibly. So, honestly, Mike, I think my takeaway about this, and last year I think I had this feeling, but maybe not quite as clear, right? I wasn't thinking limitless, so to speak. Like, I think the big takeaway is, man, I need to start shooting more shots on these fucking Harold Fannins, these Elijah Arroyos, these Terrence Fergusons. And when this is the point, back to the JCM conversation, I need to set my limit. What is the ticket? What is my elevator ride out when this happens at some point? Because guess what, Mike? I can give you, so you know how many names I can give you that were on the list that are further down? Chigakonkwo, Jatavion Sanders. I mean, dude, I can go for forever where these guys were the promised ones, right? It's almost like once your elevator ride goes up, get out, man.
Cash out.
It's the movie. Get out.
We good. I think the other thing that plays into the strategy, Adam, and I'm with you, you've kind of through the years, you've gotten me more on board because you wouldn't see me touch these guys with the 10-foot fucking pole, right? I'll let everybody else do it because there's no upside for me. That's how I viewed it. But to your point, as long as I set that limit of the minute people start hyping them up or the minute they do something on the field, guess who's going on the trade block, baby?
Like, yep.
Guess. And this is the crazy thing. People will be like, well, you're not going to get enough for Held Fan. This dude's going for first right now. I'm not even going to ask for first. Like, that person comes to me with a 26 second. It's, you have him. Take him.
Yeah. And that's the other beauty about this, right? Is that, see, you don't have to ask for 100% of the value, right?
Nope.
You don't have to ask for the best. Because you know what people love, Mike? What people love is a good bargain, right? So if they think there's a first, he's worth a first. See, I think what you can really do too with these, I think this is the thing I'll say about it. You do have to be diligent about moving them at the right time. I think the best way to make sure to ensure you do that is to be crafty, meaning Hunter Henry in a second, right? Like, you are asking for nothing from that person's soul,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Play into the. I think the best way to do it is play both sides of this game, where I want to play the elevator ride up, but I also want to understand the A-warp tight end life and how to overall roster construct to win later.
And that's the thing about these early season rookie tight ends, these young tight ends that people hype up. Adam, in 95% of the leagues and 95% of the warp crafts you and I have looked at, you know, through the trade show and our own leagues and, you know, new startups and everything. I mean, warp in our face. Tight ends usually outside the top three or four, they're all the same shit, right? I can get the same production out of a tight end that's ranked 25 as usually I can get out of a guy who's ranked 9.
Right.
No one cares. No one cares. There's no difference. For example, Harry Fannin just had a great, great debut. Great. And I don't want to take anything away from him.
He balled.
Tight end one on the week is Juwan fucking Johnson. No one cares. No one cares about Juwan Johnson. I don't see people out there putting out Twitter posts about how great Juwan Johnson is.
Well, because you know what? I'm going to tell you what's also interesting, Mike. If we were to go take a look at, I can't think of it now. How many people in lineup leagues, I don't even care if we're starting two tight ends, had either Harold Fannin or Juwan Johnson in there?
Almost none. Similar to Isaiah Likely's boom week in week one last week. Who started him? Nobody.
Right, right. And it's actually funny because in the year Idiot League Mates, guess who was the number one bid was Likely week one last year. And this year it's Harold Fannin off the waiver wire for 80 of a $200 budget. So, you know, sometimes history just has that tendency to repeat itself, man.
Yeah, I don't want to make this all about those two players, but I think it was a great highlight of two different positions and how you have different conversations about what the realistic outcome is. And when you get to the tight end position versus running back or wide receiver or quarterback, anybody like this, they're generally not difference makers anyways. The answer is almost universally going to be sell, and thank us later, right? Is there going to be an outlier that's going to hit and Adam and I are going to look like asses? Yeah. But our track records, we're batting about 99% right now, which is pretty fucking good. Right?
Yeah. We have
bad. I'd kill to go to a casino and they tell me that, you know, the house only has a 1% odds on this one. That's a great game that I want to play. Like, fucking sign me up, buddy.
And the crazy part is, Mike, this is coming off of last year when, honestly, I'll tell you, part of the reason I'm getting a little more into, while our hit rate is exactly like that, like, one of the reasons I'm getting a little more into just taking more shots at these guys is because I saw how, I will say this, I think in process, the play still is to sell Brock Bowers because of the way you can approach the position, right? But it's like, damn, like, not that he wasn't a raspberry. I'm not talking him versus Harold Fannin anymore. I'm just saying the young tight end has, in dynasty value, perceived value, tradability, market, these guys, they will go to the moon. Mike, right now, just think about this for a second. Brock Bowers, Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, Sam Laporta. These guys are all under 25 years old. Like, yep. Whether the production meets the reasonable thing or not, this is what people want to shoot their shot on. This game in Dynasty has the ability, I think, to be had at a premium if you can play the edge of understanding production in the dynasty value game. That I think is one of the it's the dance that will never get old, is trying to figure out how to play that dance the right way.
I just had to scroll down because you were listing off some names of like where they are now, and just some throwbacks, man. Irv Smith down at tight end 67 right now.
Yeah, he's a second pager.
Second pager, man. It's long been passed by the superstar, the budding superstar, Jake Tongas. Speaking of tight ends that are gonna get pumped up for no good fucking reason.
Holy shit.
Adam, I think it's the single greatest piece of content that I've ever seen you put out, and
Thanks,
it
buddy.
still holds true to this day.
Yeah, I mean, buddy, it was
not
ahead of its
for
time, meaning I didn't even realize how ahead of its time it
not
was,
for
honestly.
for presentation or graphics or music or anything, which at the time was phenomenal. You were doing great work there. Still holds up today. That's how good it is. But for the actual analysis and
Yeah.
the actual cheat code that is any one of these fucking tight ends that just ends up doing something like this, just sell them. Just fucking sell them. Unless you got first round Brock Bowers capital, Colson Loveland, Tyler Warren, you know, one of these guys that you're like, listen, they're going to be around for a bit and I'm
Yeah.
going to have many opportunities to sell. Any of these other guys, man, round three, round four tight end, round five tight end, undrafted, who gives a shit? As soon as they start getting pumped up, adios, man. Pack your bags.
And the way it's funny because I said the most exploitable tactic in Dynasty. And the way, see, you talked about Fannin going for a first. See, the part of the that made the video loop, right? It made that short actually loop so well was that, and when they get it, so what you're instead of doing a first, right? You're going to try to sell, let's say, Fannin for a second or a player, a relative replacement player like a Hunter Henry, let's say. Or you're going to go cross positionally, but you're going to ask back for a little grease piece, a third and or a fourth, because then you're going to draft in this coming up class, a Harold
Another
Fannin, an
one.
Elijah Royo, and do it. And then when they get a value bump, do it again. So you just keep doing this over and over, and you wait for one of these guys to pop, and then you sell them.
I don't remember. It feels like a missed opportunity if it's
Do you
not
know
in there.
what's crazy? If you go back and look at this, right? So I said the players that went off last year were TJ Hockenson, they were Kittle, they were Kelce, right? And I said if you didn't have one of these guys, you know, you were constantly searching for an answer. And the players that were coming up in the class prior, I was like, then you're going to take your shot. And I named five players, three of which I believe hit. And I know two of them were Tucker Kraft and Sam Laporta on there. What's crazy is I said sell Sam Laporta went and he went to tight end one. That was just by happenstance. He wasn't even drafted yet. So crazy, man. Absolutely crazy.
I was just going to say, you were doing such a good job and cooking on that one. I got it up right now, watching it. But you're doing such a good job on that one with your analysis and the hits on it. But I feel like it was a missed opportunity when you got to that
Probably.
part about doing it again. You didn't put the miracle on ice, you know?
Oh, it is on there.
It is on there? Okay, I couldn't remember
No,
if it
it
was or
is on
not.
there. It
Like
is on
we
there.
mind meld a lot. I was like, oh my
Nah,
God, that
do
would
it
have been
again. Yeah, it
perfect
is on there. It's on
again.
there. Yep,
Again.
again. Yep.
My man. My man. I'm gonna watch this fucker like seven more times tonight. It's so good. It's so good. If you guys haven't seen it, I'll put the link in the description for the podcast. Make sure you go check it out. Still rings true. And that's how we're gonna finish the show with Adam being the motherfucking goat when it comes to exploiting the dynasty market, man. Gassing my boy up, he deserves it.
Appreciate that, buddy. And yeah, I think I'll be honest, this is one where I wish I had a few more Harold Fannins, because
Fuck yeah.
it's a if you got some, listen, you've got a fish, okay? Now you can fight it all the way to the boat, or you could just let someone else take the reel from you here. I think it's time to get off and let someone else take that reel, you know?
Just wait till Rondae Gadsden stops being a healthy scratch. Goes out there
Yes,
and
right.
drops.
Right.
He drops 6 for 63 in a tutty. He'll be
See,
in again.
I told you guys, he's back.
Which you could probably do right now. You want to talk about doing it again? Trade your fucking Harold Fannin for Rondae
for
Gadsden
Rondae
in a
Gadsden
second.
in a second. There you go. Right.
Then Gadsden goes out and does it. Then you find the next one.
Yep. You keep waiting for that value bump. And when you find that value bump, just remember, when your league mates are playing chess, play 40.
That'll do it for us. We love y'all. Make sure you check out everything South Harmon's got going on over here. All the links will be down in the description. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week. We're out of this thing. Peace. Put you up and hide you on the shelf, I swear I'm through with you. You so hard to leave it alone, it's always something new with you. Ain't nowhere to get her gone, gone, gone. So I guess I'm gonna tie one on. She's so cold I had to go and
my whiskey friends, and I'm tired of it, tired of it.